I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Welcome to Zone Time, everybody. I'm Julian. Omar's here. Sam is here. Arun Srinivasan is back.
Hey,
shout
guys.
Arun. Welcome back. Welcome back to the fold. Hopefully things are good with you, buddy.
Things are going great. Thanks for having me.
Man, thanks for being here, man. You came in at a very interesting time in the NHL season. The Vancouver Canucks are really not good. We're going to spend a good chunk of time on today's episode talking about how things just keep going from bad to worse. Before we detail that whole list of how bad it's been, Sam, are you okay?
I'm fantastic.
I seem pretty happy for the Canucks being in the toilet.
I mean, maybe it's expectation management. I'm sure, you know, I think Omar and Arun, as Leafs fans, probably understand the expectation management part.
No, we don't. At least I don't. I have no idea what it's.
I have said for years that this team is not good. I have said that the roster is poorly built. They over depend on a goaltender putting in a Vezina level performance to even compete. They have an atrocious blue line. And I have said that for years. And I have been told that I am too negative, that negative fans are the problem in Vancouver, that I was told, I think in 2019 and also in 2020, that in 2 years they were going to be a contender. They were 2 years behind the Colorado Avalanche. And I remember thinking at the time, I am going to bookmark these tweets. And I did bookmark those tweets, but I am going to wait for the end of the season when it is actually 2 full years. But I think we can all safely conclude 6 games into the season that they were not, in fact, 2 years behind the Colorado Avalanche.
Yeah.
So, you know, like, it sucks that they're winless, but it's not like I was expecting them to be good. So, I don't know.
I didn't expect them
to be this bad.
No, no one did. No one did. If you were to tell me the Vancouver Canucks would be 0-4-2, having the first 4 losses come off multi-goal blown leads, including a 5th one that had another blown lead, like, that's really bad. That is, like, you'd have to buy a lottery ticket if you somehow predicted that.
They were
that. Like,
multiple leads that. Against teams that are at best average.
Even like Minnesota got their first win off of them, did they not?
And Columbus.
Lee. You made Buffalo. I mean, the Buffalo Sabres look pretty good, but like they swept Western Canada. And the final straw was that win over Vancouver. Yeah, it is not fun. By the way, for those who don't know, Sam is the host of a new show, Game Over Vancouver, where she does all the post games for another YouTube channel.
Thank God, just some of them.
That's true. If this season was a video game, we would have turned off the Xbox or the PS5 already.
No. It wouldn't have been turned off. It would have been freaking, like, you know, sometimes you get really, like, back in the day when you had to play with, like, corded controllers and you get really mad and you pull the controller too much and then the console falls. Shout out to my PS1. That thing got destroyed.
You did that to your PS1?
My PlayStation 1 lasted a whole 2 weeks.
Oh, no.
Digimon World 1 was very frustrating. Good times.
I'm so sorry. It's either that or, like, you take your controller and you chuck it at the TV and you break the screen.
Yeah.
That also happens. Someone in Vancouver has done that at least once.
Oh yeah.
Oh, well, not at once. Once you do it once, it's over. But someone has done it.
Well, yeah. Well, I'm seeing videos of like, okay, so first off, like jerseys are being thrown on the ice. And again, you know, as a Leafs fan, I understand that. I went, oh, Arun, you and we went through our years of people chucking. Even last year, as early as last year, I think it was
last year. We saw the Canucks do it. We saw the Leafs do it. It happened at a Canadiens game too.
Yep.
If you were in a Canadian market, you were chucking a jersey.
Yep. I've seen videos of Canucks fans burning Canucks jerseys. I saw that clip of like, what was it, JT Miller and Luke Shen like having that little like argument or whatever. I mean, it's tough. However, can I interject and add a positive spin? My friend, see, this is a moment where like I wish we were recording. Like zone time starting off online has been great, but if there's ever a moment where we could record in person, I wish it could be this moment, because I would just slowly turn and look at Sam and say, Sam, Connor Bedard.
You know what I would say to you, Omar?
Yes.
I am under zero illusions that the Canucks will win any draft lottery, much less the Connor Bedard draft lottery.
What if they do? But also, what if you finish last and you're like guaranteed like a top three pick?
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
What
if, I mean, look,
because that could happen.
Yes. I would happily take Fantilli or Mishkov.
Yeah. Like, yes. There's three guys that would have gone first overall last year. So,
yeah. If you're going to be bad, this is the year to be bad.
Mm-hmm.
So I do agree with that. But everyone who's like, Connor Bedard is going to come home. Like, have you watched this team before? Do you know anything about the history of this team?
That's true.
This team could have had Gilbert Perreault and they lost that draft lottery to the Buffalo Sabres. This team has never had a number one draft pick in its entire history ever.
What year was it when? Oh, it was the infamous Trevor Linden sad meme where I think the Canucks like dropped from like was it 3-6 or 4-6? It was something like that. Oh, it was the Matthews draft. It was the Matthews one. It was the Matthews draft, the 2016. They dropped from 4-6. And then Trevor Linden looked very, very, very sad. It was nice.
And then the year after they dropped as well, but they took Elias Pettersson. So that was fine.
Yeah, exactly. You know,
I just had to refresh my memory over who the Vancouver Canucks picked in 2016.
It was the man who passed out. It was the man who passed out last year.
Olli Juolajevi. They picked him fifth over. Oh, my God. If you guys forget what the 2016 draft order was like, let me just read through the top seven picks. So Austin Matthews, then Patrick Laine, then Pierre-Luc Dubois, then Jesse Puljujärvi, then Olli Juolajevi, and then Matthew Tkachuk, and then Clayton Keller.
Oh, so Keller and Matthews are the only ones still on their teams, eh?
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
That's well, Puljujärvi. Like
For now.
We just keep hearing the rumors. Despite the
media's best.
Somewhere Avery's like, Avery's like, what?
You can't move him.
Yo, if the Oilers ever trade Puljujärvi, we have to have like an immediate zone time. Like I don't relate it. It doesn't matter.
Emergency zone time.
Like the minute it happens. Oh my gosh.
That man loves Jesse Puljujärvi. Mm-hmm. But we could do that on a different day.
Yeah.
I just want to know. Omar, you actually listed out all the different things that have transpired with the Canucks over the last few days. The fighting. You didn't even mention some of the quotes coming out from guys like Bo Horvat and JT Miller. Ooh, by the way, another thing for y'all to do. Sam has done the Lord's work and is putting together a tweet thread of the best quotes of the Canucks season. And she said she will update it on an ongoing basis. I haven't bookmarked it. I bookmarked it.
I don't understand this organization. Like, sorry, we have a new president. New GM.
Mm-hmm.
I thought we were done with like the we ran out of time style quotes, but no. This organization's singular talent is losing and also giving us quotes that age poorly immediately.
So, Sam, I got a quick question for you because I thought you said something really like smart at the start of the show was just like, how much of this
is. She always does.
She always does. No, of course. But like, how much of this is based on like expectation management in Vancouver? Like, what's the feeling like there? Because as Omar also alluded to too, like in Toronto, even with a 3-2 team, it feels like the sky is falling. So I just wonder like what that's like there in Vancouver. Like, was the expectation for this team to be drastically better?
I think it just depends who you talk to. I think this is like, it's an interesting market in that it's probably very polarized. There is a faction. There's probably three segments of fans. There's probably two segments who are like overly invested in the team. One of which is like, we need to be positive. This is a great team. We have a great core. They're going to be contenders. They just need more time. And they've been saying that for years. There's the side that's kind of like, oh, this is a terribly built team. They have blown the last 8 years. They should have rebuilt earlier. We're just stuck in Groundhog Day. And there's probably like a sizable portion that's just somewhere between the two, which is probably the most rational place to be and not be overinvested in this team. I think that if you were on the side of this is an elite team that's going to contend for the cup, I imagine you're having a very rough time. But I also think there's this perception that all the people, myself included, I get a lot of this, is like, you're happy they're losing because it means you're right. Sorry, I would rather be wrong. I would love to be wrong. I want this team to go on a run until every year. I want them to be a contender year in, year out. I would love to be wrong. I am not at the point where I'm like, yeah, I'd rather be right and have them lose 82 games. Like, that's not fun for anyone. And yeah. I think this, the whole idea that people are happy they're losing is absurd. People are, I think the people who have said for a long time, they need to actually properly rebuild. They need to actually do the hard work and not sign JT Miller to a 7-year contract when he's going to turn 30 and they're nowhere near their window. There are like, people just want to see a plan. Like, people want to stop hearing they're going to be good in a couple of years. Like, I don't see the path there. I haven't seen the path there in the last few years, other than like, we're going to count on every single thing to go right. There's no long-term planning here at all. And I think that for the most part, the market is frustrated and angry that we're doing this again. Like, what are you going to do? Fire Bruce Boudreau? All we heard all offseason was, oh, Travis Green was obviously the problem. Boudreau had them on a 107-point pace. Obviously, this team is good. The roster is well built. What are you going to do now? Fire Boudreau? Like, how many coaches can you go through?
All I heard last offseason was, Bruce, there it is.
I think Bruce, the person I feel the worst for is Bruce Boudreau.
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
I think he yeah. has answered the tough questions. He has done the job he's asked. He's done it with good grace, good humor. And all he gets at every turn is Jim Rutherford disrespecting him publicly in his quotes. Like, making it clear he is not their guy, making it clear that they weren't sure they wanted to extend him. At this point, I don't know why Bruce doesn't just like pull a Paul Maurice and like, peace out. I'd be like, see, I enjoy this. I don't need this.
It's so funny. It's in the case, not funny, but it's so interesting because, and again, I know I'm doing the Leafs thing and making everything about the Leafs, but just like, bear with me for a second. Is that
everything about the Leafs?
Hearing Sam like talk about the issues of the Canucks there, like, reminded me so very much of like that 2010 to like 2014 era of the Leafs, where they had no plan, where the goal was just make the playoffs, get those two home games, and that's it. And we took that 1 year where we made the playoffs. Fortunately, we're coming up to the 10-year anniversary of that. And we were like, okay, we're ready. We're good. We're fine. We're going to sign this player. We're going to bring in David Clarkson and give him a 7-year deal. Like, all of this stuff that doesn't make sense. We're firing coaches. So it's like Randy, it's like the Randy Carlisle and Dave Nonis that's happening in Vancouver right now. And yeah, it's very interesting to see that there isn't necessarily a plan, even though there are pieces, but it doesn't seem like there's any long-term longevity. And as we've seen time and time again, there are either two things. Either one, you have to commit to a plan, or two, you fire the coach, and by some drastic, miraculous positivity train, that ends up working for the team, and they do. That could be the worst thing that happens for Vancouver, is that they fire Boudreau, they hire like Barry Trotz, and then they end up like winning the division or something, and then making the playoffs or whatever. Like, that's the worst thing that can happen. And the fact that fans for the longest time have been saying that they need a plan, they don't know what the plan is. Like, that's a problem. That's a problem. You can't be a team that's like in the middle. That's those purposeless teams where you don't necessarily know.
Worst place to be.
That's the worst place to be. And I generally thought that Vancouver would be better. I didn't think they like dominated whatever, but I thought they'd at least like hang around and stuff. But like this start has been brutal. And again, we're right back to where we were last year, where it just was just very dumb and somber and everything was negative. And then Brujo came back and everything seemed like it was fun. And now you have the fun person, but the negativity is still there, but even worse, to the point where, again, things are being thrown on the ice. They're asking players about it, and the players are saying they don't care about it.
JT Miller stuff?
They lose again. There's going to be JT Miller jerseys everywhere, man. It's brutal.
Can you name me a player who has so quickly tanked the goodwill a market had for him?
Yeah, he butchered it.
Yeah,
left last season with people saying he's a 1C, best trade in Canucks history, best player on the team with Elias Pettersson. Okay, we had people saying he should take over the captaincy from Bo Horvat. Six games in.
No, I don't think he should get rid of the captaincy, but. I think the Canucks have found a way to like tank ethically in some ways. Like they have a roster that on paper is somewhat competitive, but they are closer to bottoming out than actually being good. So, you know, they can blow these three leads in a row and be like, look, we've put out a competitive team and yet still crash towards the bottom. Also, to the point of having no plan, I agree completely. Like the Canucks need to find some sort of identity. What is it? Like, are they bottoming out? Are they just saying this has been a six-game anomaly and we're going to get through this? Like, what has Jim Rutherford or Patrick Alvin said? I mean, keep in mind, like, Patrick Alvin got hired in January. It hasn't been that long ago. So, like, what is their plan? It just seems like if they commit to a direction one way or another, great. But they are sort of stuck in that purgatory there. And I have no idea what it is.
The problem for me is he came in. He said all the right things, I think. He acknowledged that it was a poorly constructed roster. He said the defense required a lot of work. He said that they were probably a couple years away from being a regular playoff team. Okay. And I think those are all correct assessments of this team. But then he proceeded to treat the offseason, and like I say he because he's the president, obviously Levine's the GM, but like they did pretty much nothing over the offseason to change the team other than to extend JT Miller with a massive contract, $56 million. Mm-hmm. And to me, that is a move that you make if they are already a regular playoff team and you want to go all in and win now in the same time frame that the Calgary Flames are in win now mode, in the same time frame that Colorado is in a win now mode, in the same time frame that Edmonton is in win now mode. It made no sense. It still makes no sense. Other than that, people really liked him. He was their best player in terms of offensive production. But in terms of a plan, like what Rutherford said coming in and what he actually did make no sense together. Mm-hmm. And he went from saying this is a defense that requires a lot of work. And to be fair, he said, you know, we weren't able to do as much as we thought we could over the offseason to improve the defense, but they did nothing. Okay. This is a team where Tucker Pullman and Travis Dermott and Tyler Myers are all considered like make or break pieces.
That's a problem.
And two of those three pieces are injured right now.
Hughes is now injured and Stillman is injured. And he described the defense, like I said last week, he said it is certainly adequate if it's healthy.
Quinn Hughes is injured.
Yeah, Quinn Hughes is out week to week with Travis Dermott too.
Yeah.
Connor Bedard.
Besser didn't skate today either, so I think he may also be injured again.
Connor Bedard. The blue line was already an issue, and that's tough. Unless you make some they have to do something. And it can't just be firing the coach. Like, you can't just, like, bring in a new person and say, hey, we're going to try better. Like, sure, yeah, obviously, yeah, okay, you're going to try harder. But it's like, yeah, either, like, Thatcher Demko, like, goes God mode the entire season. Or, hey, we're bottoming out. And, Dave, if Vancouver pulled a New York Rangers and said, you know what, we've heard you, we've listened to everything, we are going to start this over, and then just started trading everyone, or at least try to, To Sam's point earlier, yeah, you'd have the fans that like really want the team to do well. But I think for the most part, the majority of Canucks fans would say, finally, like, at least we know what the direction is. Now, if they lose, we won't be frustrated. We'll say, yes, that's sick. That's cool. That year, man, where the Leafs committed to losing was sick. The Mitch Marner draft, when we were going for McDavid, that was so sick. Every loss was like, yes, yes. And then like every single win was like so frustrating. But like, because at that point we knew what the plan was. We knew that we were rebuilding. We knew that we were trying to, you know, get as low as possible, you know, get draft picks, trade player. The trade deadline was more exciting because we weren't looking for buying targets. We're looking, okay, what can we get for this player? What can we get for that player? So, and maybe, I don't know, maybe if also the team itself knows that's what the direction is, maybe in some way that can be a weird incentive to increase individual performances. I mean, what does JT Miller have right now as far as like stats? I haven't really been paying attention too much.
He's been on the ice. Yeah, there was like a point where he was on the ice for almost every goal.
He was on the ice for the first 9 goals against.
Ooh, okay, yeah. So maybe they should have traded him last summer. But you know, maybe he turns it around, and then he ends up being one of those like, you know, trade deadline good acquisitions. Granted, well, you know, they have to
trade him this year because then his no trade clause kicks in next year.
Is it
to trade him this year if they're going to trade?
Oh my god! Yes, but the thing is, like. But that's what sucks about the start that the Canucks are on right now. It's one thing for them to say, hey.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Man, we're going to rebuild and everything. But like, if you're in a position where, unfortunately, you're like the Vancouver Canucks and like you are underwhelming and you suck, it is not ideal to try to trade away some of those best pieces for full value. Right? Like, yep. You want to do them at a point where they're actually playing really well. Yeah. Imagine you're trying to get rid of JT Miller on the contract that he's on right now. Yeah, good luck with that. You're going to have to wait a couple of games and hope for him to
he had a 99-point season.
Yeah, that was there. You have probably to think.
And get yourself some defensive help off that. I don't know.
I mean, I want every Canucks fan to listen to what Omar just said about how one season of planned sucking rocked. Like, I want the organization to listen to it, because I think part of the problem is they have consistently trotted out this line that, well, the market isn't prepared for a rebuild. Like, this market can't tolerate a rebuild.
They said the same thing here. They said the same thing.
Fans are smarter than you give them credit for.
Yep. They said that Montreal right now, they're going through a rebuild. And after years of people saying people wouldn't go through that, I haven't seen Habs fans more relaxed about their prospects in years.
All fans want is a clearly communicated plan. You tell them we're going to be bad for X amount of time because this is the plan, and they will tolerate it. I mean, it's been 8 years of this. Like, sorry, you could have been done a rebuild in this time. It's not like we've been through some kind of short-lived amount of pain anyway. Jim Rutherford said on After Hours the other day, we may very well be in a rebuild in the direction we're going, but ideally we'd like to transition this team on the fly. That is what Jim Benning said in 2014. We can retool on the fly. Ooh. It's been 8 years. Are we doing another 8 years of this? Like, that's 16 years. You're telling me you couldn't have done a proper rebuild in 16 years.
So Harmon Dowd,
go ahead, Arun.
So Harmon Dowd, The Athletic, had like a really good article today, sort of breaking down what the Canucks could do. And one of the things he touched on was how Jim Rutherford has a tendency to make in-season trades. But with this, the operative point being, they're not the Sidney Crosby, Pittsburgh Penguins. The Vancouver Canucks, like, would it be in their best interest to make a move right now? I don't know. Quickly, I would say I don't think I enjoyed the 2016 Leafs season as much as Omar did, but at least, dude, without your recap, I don't think I would have even like remembered virtually anything. But because it was sort of told to the fan base, like, look, this year is going to be miserable, it kind of came with sort of a tongue in cheek sort of experience, like, look, this is going to suck, but it'll suck for a year or two. But yeah, I don't know, like if the Canucks make a move, like, who would it be? Is everyone on the table? Because like the only person that I think that would extract fair value right now is Elias Pettersson. But I don't know.
I mean, I don't know. I was about to say that before Omar makes his point, Sam made a point about how she wants everyone from the Canucks organization to listen to this. My vote is that we contact our friend of the show, Rachel Dory, and send this episode to them, because that's going to be our way to ensure the Sorry. I forgot about the fact she doesn't work for the Canucks anymore. My bad.
Just one big redacted. Here we go.
We're just going to have to strike that segment from the tape. Omar, you go ahead and make your point.
Yeah, I mean, like, it is like a fair question. I mean, like who do you actually move? And it's not like, especially if you're going into that quote unquote, I don't know, like rebuilding era or whatever, you have to trade people that people are going to want. So obviously everyone will say, oh yeah, trade JT Miller, but like right now, JT Miller hasn't been good. Bo Horvat has been a name that's been around for a while and he hasn't been amazing. So it's also all about timing. But to Sam, to your point earlier, it's just like, man, if you're quoting Jim Benning, a person who was loved in Vancouver, loved in Vancouver, then I think there's a problem. And we've seen it time and time again, the organizations that are just unwilling to admit where they are and what they do to the fan base, what they do to the organization, what they do to the value of the team when it comes to the players. You think the players in the locker room are looking around saying, oh yeah, don't worry, we're gonna flip, turn this around and we're gonna go, like, no, they're like, it's the beginning of the season, like the, like, not the St. Louis Blues ruined the NHL. I will say it until the day I die. They ruined the NHL because now every team thinks, don't worry, the St. Louis Blues are in last place at the halfway mark and they won the cup. It's like, no, that doesn't happen for everyone. So like they're all thinking the same thing and you just need to commit to something. And again, just like we've all been talking about, if there was ever a year to be bad, it would be this one. And that's why I'm so pissed off at Philadelphia. I'm so mad at them.
We could get to Philly and Chicago on this on that too in terms of big surprises. I just want to say this, man. Like Vancouver, it sucks.
I thought you just said Vancouver, you suck. I was like, oh, okay.
No, I think they've heard enough of that already. I just wanted to offer some comforting words in a tough time. It'll get worse before it gets better, but also. JT Miller said, hey, for the fans, throw the jersey and say he doesn't care. I'm not crazy about him saying what he said about that. I know he followed that up saying, I'm not worried about if people want to come to the game, pay all that money, throw their jerseys on the ice. Go ahead. I've got a job to do. I'm worried about beating the Canes tonight, which, of course, by the time you hear this, who knows if they beat the Canes on Monday night. But yeah, I can understand why a lot of people got upset about that quote from Miller. Don't say stuff like that.
I mean, both parties have a right to feel that way.
I don't think it's bad that he said he doesn't care if they throw the jersey. I actually think that's a perfect response. If you want to go throw a jersey to express your displeasure, particularly in a market where last season the owner said that sent him over the edge and he fired the GM, have at it. I took bigger issue with the quotes he's had earlier this week. He was asked about his defensive game and he basically said he's not going to change the way he plays. He doesn't think he's given up much of anything.
What?
This is a man who was on the ice for 9 straight goals.
What? Wow. What?
This is a man who was supposed to be the 1C but has been moved to the wing because he doesn't play defense. Okay, so he said that. And the other thing that I really took issue with is for somebody who consistently puts himself out as the big guy on campus, he's the leader, he's very vocal, he wants to be treated as such, he wants to be paid as such. When you have the reaction he had to Luke Shen coming off the ice and it's on camera in front of the fans and somebody asks you after what was the discussion about, I'm not saying he has to like detail what they said. I'm not saying he has to disclose what happened. But his answer can't be, it's none of your business, which is what he said to Daniel Wagner. Like, yes, this is a team where the Sedins, for season after season, loss after loss, stood there and answered every single tough question thrown their way. And it is not a market where I think where most people tolerate that kind of response. Like, you want to be a leader on the team, you have to give a better answer than it's none of your business. It is literally his business. You did this on the ice in front of cameras. He is entitled
on
to
Hockey Night in Canada. Yeah, here's my other thing about it too. He didn't do this on a Tuesday night. He didn't do this on a Thursday night. He did this on a Saturday night. Hockey Night in Canada. You out here going off on Luke Shen. And then you tell the reporter, it's none of your business. And I get players will say stuff like that. You keep it amongst on the ice or you keep it in the room. But I don't know. If you're trying to be this leader guy, that is not a great show of leadership. To at least wait until you get into the tunnel before you have a back and forth with Luke Shen.
Or I don't know. You can say, like, obviously we're all frustrated. Like, give a respectful answer.
Yep.
You don't get to just dip out of it like that.
I think that's very well said. Unless anyone else has anything else they want to add on the Vancouver Canucks and the grave that is being dug for them right now, we're going to have to move on to another topic here because I think we've done enough. Sam, you were brilliant.
We can't talk about this team anymore.
Yes. Yes. Philadelphia. You mentioned Philadelphia earlier, Omar. There are three teams that I have in front of me who are off to some pretty surprising starts. And I just wanted to know which of these three teams do you think is off to the biggest surprise to this point? Philadelphia. They have four wins to their tally. I think they came back and won the other night. The Sabres, they swept through Western Canada. They're doing pretty well. Chicago does not have a losing record as of this recording. And I believe as of this recording as well, they've won three in a row. Which of these three teams is the biggest surprise?
For me, it's Philadelphia. I just have to jump on this one, man.
Yeah.
In staff predictions, like I said, Philadelphia would be the worst team in the league by some distance. I know the consensus pick might have been Arizona or Chicago, but I thought Tortorella coming back with just like a horrific right side of their defense would have sort of sealed the Flyers' fate. So no, they've been better. I mean, and they beat the Lightning in one of their wins too. Like, I was trying to assess quality of opponent. I don't think either of these three teams have really beat any world beaters, so to speak, but I have to say Philadelphia. I thought they were going to be horrific in a year where there are a few teams that are trying to bottom out.
Sam, do you want to take it before Omar goes in?
It's a tough call between Philadelphia and Chicago. I
thought there'd be more left for Buffalo.
No, because I think Buffalo is actually a team that has rebuilt on the fly well. I wasn't expecting them to be atrocious. I actually did expect Chicago to be atrocious. I think Philly. I'm with her, and I think Philly, because I think if Chicago really wanted to tank, they would have traded Patrick Kane.
Okay, that's very true. I'm gonna mention Buffalo here just because I know you gotta remember here with rebuilding doesn't always work as fast as you want to, and Buffalo is the prime example of that. They're rebuilding their rebuild, or some people might say they're rebuilding the rebuild of the rebuild. Like, it has been a long time before the Buffalo Sabres have been relevant. And for them to cut through Western Canada and beat Calgary, Edmonton, and Vancouver. Look, Vancouver's in the shit, but like, they have the players that they have. And I don't think anyone expected them to roll through Western Canada and win all those games. That's a very big deal for this Buffalo Sabres team. And Rasmus Dahlin is on God mode with that goal scoring streak to start the year. Like,
that's history,
I know they're going to. Yeah.
I don't think it's ever been done before.
It's the longest streak, goal scoring streak to start a season by a defenseman ever. Look, I know the Buffalo Sabres at some point, their ascension has to start at some point. I think it's still worth giving them some love for the start that they have. Now, Omar, please tell us why it's Philadelphia.
Okay. I just want to preface by saying that I am aware and I understand that if a team hires John Tortorella, they're not trying to lose. I understand that. So please, you don't have to come to me and say that. I just want to connect and go back to things that Arun said.
Yes.
Based off the stats, he thought they would be horrific.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And we all thought that, right. There was nothing, no lie, no shame in that. right? Based off how the rosters can be constructed, the injuries that are around, right? And yes, you bring in John Tortorella, you have that hype video saying, oh, you know what, we're going to challenge each other, my door is always open, yada, yada, right? But they're 4-2 in a year with Connor Bedard. Can someone tell me, who is the star player in Philly right now?
Connor Hart or Travis Konecny, probably.
Thank you. You see how long? You see that delay? I don't understand these teams that have every reason to be. You know what? This is why. Like, you know what, Sam? I'm sorry. We have to go back to Vancouver for a second, because this is why there are teams that try to do well and don't. And then there are teams that don't need to try to do well, that have every excuse to be bad. And then for some reason, they start winning games. Now, I know the other counterpoint, people say, well, organizations tank, not players, or not players. Players try. I get that. I understand that. Now, have that thought in June when you see Connor Bedard in like Arizona jersey or like a Seattle jersey or something and not yours. You just traded Claude Giroux. You need someone. You needed something. It would have been sick. I don't understand. I don't understand. Oh, well, John Tortorella is going to make the team better. Why did you hire him then? Have 1 year of like an interim and be bad. And then Chicago is another one. Like, you know, Chicago, I don't know what they're doing is sustainable, because Mrazek is out again or something. If I'm Kyle Davidson, I am kicking down every single, what the heck are they doing? I traded DeBrincat. I traded Kirby Doc. I made all of these moves. What the heck's going on? Now, to Sam's point, they still have Patrick Kane. They still have Jonathan Toews. They have, you know, Max Domi and stuff, and, you know, Anthony Seau. They still have skilled players or whatever. But it's like, why? And yes, it's October. I get it. But every time, I was shocked when I saw they beat Tampa. I was shocked. How? And I went on Twitter and people were saying, oh yeah, we're here. We're gonna win. We're gonna have a great season. You're missing the point. You are missing the point. And you know what? And if they turn around and bottom out and win the draft lottery and get Connor Bedard, you know what? Great. That's cool. Everything was worth it. But if they finish and get like the 10th overall pick, what was the point? What was the point of this season?
Here's the counterpoint.
Philly's going to bottom out, man. It's a magical October in Philadelphia right now. The Eagles are undefeated. God. The Phillies are going to the World Series. The Flyers have performed above expectations. They're going to come crashing soon. Don't worry.
I hope, man.
Here's the counterpoint I have to this, right? Also, by the way, I think I mentioned Philly had a comeback weekend over the last couple of days. I think it was Chicago that came back against Seattle. But here's the counterpoint I have. The draft is ultimately a crapshoot. I know Connor Bedard is on God mode and like, dude is killing it. And I'm telling you, he should change any franchise that he goes to. But man, just being this team that is absolutely the worst team does not always guarantee you the first overall pick. And I completely understand where Sam is coming from with her feeling that Vancouver probably won't even get there. And I'm sure you put your hand down. You got Austin Matthews.
But I will say, like, you can have
Mitrov
and Fantilliard.
We do have Austin Matthews, and where did the Leafs finish that year? Last. And who drafted Juraj Slafkovský last year? It was Montreal. And what year? Where did they finish? Last.
The Detroit Red Wings in the bubble year were the worst team in the NHL, and the New York Rangers were in a play-in round and won the draft lottery.
We don't talk about that.
Very different, but still, that's really weak. But hey, to this, they drafted fourth and they got more cider out of that. Okay. The Colorado Avalanche, remember, they were terrible for a good chunk of the 2010s. I do recall a year they drafted fourth overall and got Caleb.
You want to hear a fun fact?
Yes, please.
Joe Sakic became GM of the Colorado Avalanche the year after Jim Benning became GM of the Vancouver Canucks.
Oh, man.
If you want to know how long we have not been rebuilding.
Ooh. I mean,
I don't know where to go with that. Yeah,
I don't know.
My favorite stat.
I don't know, man. I don't know, man. This is kind of wild.
So it's just like, you know what? Like, I get it. You know, it's a feel good story, and it's great, and it's a great start. You know, when you're about the, you know, it's a crazy positivity right now. And yes, Julian, for sure, being last does not guarantee you the first overall pick. Absolutely. However, it gives you the best chance to do so. So I just don't.
And you can still mess up that pick anyway. Except if you really mess up Connor Bedard this year, this should be on the team, not the player.
I mean, I don't know. Seattle's messing up Shane Wright. Can we talk about that? I don't know for right now.
I wrote a whole essay on it.
But man, I don't know.
He's not ready yet.
He's playing 7 minutes. What? Like, of course
he's not ready.
What can you do with that?
Let's play 7 to Junior.
I don't understand what they're doing with him, man. Let's just send him back to Junior. They're ruining him. It sucks. I feel so bad for him.
Dude, he would have, like, his former minor hockey teammate is the leading scorer in the NHL right now. It's kind of like, it almost just spells the point out in the full detail. Like, you know, the thing with Shane Wright, too, it's like, why play him? Like, I think it's fewer than 7 minutes. So why don't I think he's only averaged more than 6 minutes in one of those five games? It's been a drastic mismanagement of a prospect. You know, Shane Wright also lost a developmental year because of the pandemic, right? Like, all those kids did. And his game, like, he's the most pro-ready forward in the class. Like, if you were expecting him to put up, like, McDavid rookie year scoring numbers, that was just unrealistic to begin with. Like, the strength of his game is that he's an all-around player with good playmaking instincts, and you're burying him on the fourth line with 6 minutes a game. It's just a waste of time. I don't get it at all.
Yeah, I don't understand how the GM is watching this and saying, like, okay, listen, like, this is our highest pick from last year. Like, are we playing him or are we not? Like, you can't have him play freaking fourth line, even worse than fourth line minutes, in the NHL. He's not going to benefit from that at all. So it's like, at least, like, put him in a situation where he can feel good about himself, let him dominate somewhere, and then bring him back. Like, that makes no sense. That makes absolutely no sense.
Doesn't make sense. I don't know why sometimes it feels as if, like, people on shows like ours seem to have a better grasp of how it works to develop prospects than people who work in front offices. Maybe not everybody, but I do think Shane Wright deserves better than whatever he's getting right now. If it means dominating in another year junior, so be it. But I don't necessarily agree with, like, 7 minutes of fourth line time. Like, it's a bit weird. Yeah. I think that's pretty much it for this week's edition of Zone Time, people. Arun, you filled in admirably. Thank you so much for hanging out with us. Mm-hmm. And of course, Sam and Omar, of course, the show is nothing without you both. We'll be back next week with a brand new episode. Subscribe to the podcast wherever you listen to podcasts. Subscribe to the Yahoo Sports NHL YouTube page as well. We'll be back next week, everybody. Peace.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.